I like that. Should we run through it and you just tell us if something's too loud?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going. Got it going right now.
We start with that one or high one?
You think it should kick off?
Let's start with that one because that's where it went.
Hey y'all, this is Early James from Birmingham, Alabama, and this is Way of the Dinosaur.
Hell yeah.
Nailed it.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. I've got Early James in the latest. We have James Ford Cammy Monk in an air conditioner that just won't quit. Here we are for part two. Let's go.
I mean, like, if we want to fucking go down memory lane here, like,
let's go.
The people that are most important on all of R&B music never got solos. You know, I would have to do a Google search. Yeah, they are all black players.
New note.
You know, like, but like, of course, horn players were the lead players. But like, the shit that, yeah, you know, Jimi Hendrix was one of them. And the R&B chitlin circuit, like, that rhythm playing was, it birthed the meters. Yes. Like, birthed the thought process of, like, yes, rhythm playing can be lead playing. First of all, the electric guitar was a new thing in the 50s. And Hendrix, when he started playing for I can't even remember who he was playing for. Little Richard. Playing for Little Richard, you know, like, a lead guitar player was not really, unless it was blues, you know, Clapton was a thing, but, like, it was so strange. Like, I mean, like, the first lead guitar player was Gypsy Jazz, Django Reinhardt. Like, it was ridiculous to be known as a lead guitar player.
Yeah.
And in really from Django, there, you know, you've got people like, they were all arch top players. Folks playing for Hank Senior or like, any of that old, country jazz, honky tonk,
Texas swing, maybe?
Texas swing stuff, like, but
those guys,
they're like Eddie Lang or like,
I mean, like what are you talking about? Could you go back and talk about like the Fame Gang and some of those bands like that backed everybody up in Muscle Shoals?
Yeah, like, I mean, those.
I mean, that's
those people didn't
the rhythm,
really understand.
The rhythm
they were
is
good.
The forward, you know.
If you watch the documentary, then you realize those people didn't know how good they were.
Sure, yeah, definitely. One of the best documentaries ever.
Which one?
Muscle Shoals.
Yeah,
that's a fucking fantastic documentary.
There's an old soul song.
The birth of Southern rock.
By a guy named Don Covey, and it's Jimi Hendrix playing guitar on it, and it's nothing like Jimi Hendrix. But it's him. I mean, it's his double stops, and his flicks, but it's the rhythm playing is what's so cool about it. And to his point, that makes that song. And I know it's probably not as flashy as playing, but to me, it's some of my favorite stuff I've ever heard of him. And you'd never know it's him unless you look that up.
Everything's
I'm
here reporting live from the living room.
You put me on this
fucking
couch.
Everybody calm down.
It's gorgeous couch and it's comfortable as fuck. I'm sorry if I'm laying down.
I double fisted so I didn't have to go back.
No. Can I talk about two things about being from the South?
It's untapped and vinyl, so.
I think so.
You can just cut it out.
Go ahead. Do your thing.
Can I ask a question?
You can ask every question.
This reminds me of Taylor.
Going to be edited?
Yes.
Sheet and Heart. That's good. It's actually good.
And I will also, like, contact you about what needs to be, right? Unless it's like Adrian at the end and he's like, do not cut that.
Little boy butts.
Yeah.
I did that one time.
Actually, you could edit
I did there. Something and I said, just cut that. Let's start over. And he left it in there.
Maybe you can give me a free ticket.
I thought it was good.
Jimbo Mathis, since I dropped his name.
You're good, dude. Just let me know.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, I'll let you know. You come on.
Leave that in there. Something's a record.
That's there. Can we two things from the South?
No, now I'm scared.
Two things from the South.
Okay. Thing one. I just remember.
And I want you to talk about horse pens.
That's three things from the South.
Okay.
No, that's
well,
one
why don't
thing.
Play
from
that
South.
Game where everybody.
I have to have a list. I have to have a list. I'm very compartmentalized.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the worst stage banter. All right. What?
Yeah, we gotta do that. I gotta ask James Mullis the James Mullis question.
Yeah.
All right, so there's this question that James, after he came on the podcast, he asked me, was you should start asking every musician you have on about the worst stage banter they ever heard. And so I'm going to return that question to you, James.
Did you tell them what I heard at any point?
I told two off the mic.
Off the mic. Okay.
But no one knows the origination of the of the origin.
Elaborate, please. I'm
it's
lost.
The big origination of
the worst. I mean, I've heard a lot of bad stage banter, including my own.
Yeah.
But the worst I ever heard. I mean, this is almost 4 years ago at the Nick in Birmingham, and
God only knows everyone is going to come from that place.
I did not know Adrian at this point.
You've only known Adrian 4 years.
Yeah. Wow. He almost was a dandy.
So I was playing. This is back when I didn't drink.
How long ago was that?
Lifetime ago.
I bought the Sundays.
It was in this magical time when I would play these gigs at the Nick. And, like, at the time, my old coworker, was a bartender at the Nick. And she would keep these checks for me. And they weren't checks. They were like $5 bills. Like $5. You know, because I didn't hang out. I didn't drink at this time.
Yeah.
And
so people would like buy you a shot and she would just keep the...
I didn't drink like that.
Damn,
like,
she should have.
But why would
that.
She keep it though?
Yeah. That's probably what it was.
Because I didn't stick... I was always the opener.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So I never stuck around. I'd play my set and leave every time.
Yeah.
And I'd do five or six of these. And I'd give in 3 or 4 months. And show up and, like, it's Madeline's Inc. Z at the Nick. She doesn't work there anymore. She's a criminal investigative, I don't know what she does. But she has moved on from the Nick, which is good for her. But I used to work with her at Pet Supplies Plus in Birmingham, Alabama. But that was my first job in Birmingham. And
it was my son's first job in Tuscaloosa.
Full circle. And, you know, I would just leave after my set, which now is unheard of because I always want to listen. It was kind of a learning step. Like, I just, first of all, I didn't really drink, and I didn't want to be around people who did drink.
So you just...
And it was smoky at the time. Did you smoke?
It was not smoky the time. But it was smoky outside. And I did smoke off and on at the time, but, like, I was in this weird relationship. But, long story short, wait, what were we talking about?
The Nick and
playing. We were talking about stage banter.
Okay.
Yes.
So back when
you
I was
get that when it's
back when
question.
I was super sober.
Back, in, cowboy,
back when go. I remembered everything.
We've gone that far back now. This is good.
Yeah, I show up super early for this load-in. 8 p.m. load-in is Nick time. That's at least what they tell the opener back in that time. And so, you know, it's just a guitar. And that's it for me. And I load in at 8 p.m. Ain't got shit to do because I brought my guitar in. That's load-in. and I'm just kind of like, no one's at the bar at the neck except for this band, who I will not say the name of because I don't remember it.
Okay.
But also, if you want to look it up, it had snakes.
White snake?
Cobra. Yeah. I think I opened for White Snake. And, but it was very, like, you know, faux bluegrass. You know, they had a drummer, but they're not bluegrass. Yeah. They've got a banjo player, but it's the lead singer's girlfriend. And she doesn't really know how to play, she doesn't really know how to play the fucking banjo.
Par for the course.
And so, like, I'm just kind of here for load-in, because my, like, I walk up on stage, yeah, that's in tune, yeah, that's coming clear, like, I'm just playing solo acoustic, and this guy talks at length of how, like, he just wants his girlfriend to just, like, be his confidant. He doesn't want her to, like, talk about anything but what he's going through. And when she starts talking about politics and what she sees on the news, he hates it. He doesn't want to hear about that because he tunes it out. Mm. And
what he's saying, this turns, in the mic? This, like, so he...
No, this is not in the mic at all. Oh, okay. This is just him talking to his bandmates, his bass player. And he's just like, I mean, like, we're just sitting there and I'm, like, getting ready for the gig and she's talking about politics and I'm just like... And this apparently evolves into an argument and he's like, you're not on the gig anymore.
Wow.
And she's like, cool. So she stays at the hotel room and in a blunder to get to the gig, he doesn't bring his wallet. So, he's clearly like a 35-year-old male.
Yeah.
And they're, I don't
trying know, to ID him.
They're trying to ID him, and they're like, I mean, like, can I get your ID? Like, Pam's there at the neck, and she's like, oh, like, I'll front you. Like, just fucking play the gig. Like, you can drink. He continues to get loaded as fuck.
Of course.
Like, he's throwing a fucking fit until Pam shows up to just be like, okay, like, just give him some beers. Like, he's already kind of drunk as he shows up. And, long story short, I get done with my set as I'm leaving. I hear this guy, well, it's not even him. It's not even the lead singer. His bass player or guitar player, somebody is like, motherfucker, you can't say we don't live our songs.
I think that's the best. Like, not
totally nailed it.
I just sit there in disbelief. It's just like, you can't say we don't live our song. Like,
I want that to be like B.B. Walker.
And that was the first time. That was the first time.
I've heard a lot of, that was banter, but that was for everyone. That was, they weren't even performing yet. And also, I can't say for a fucking Rooster's Teeth how they sounded like.
Yeah,
that wasn't in between, like, songs kind of.
No, I didn't stay for the set.
That's what I'm saying. It was the first time there was a proclamation made about a person's song.
You can't say we don't live the songs
without ever hearing a song.
Who knows, man? That could have been a hell of a set. But I guarantee you it wasn't.
The whole time we're talking about stage banter, I try to think about the worst one I ever fucking heard. And it's I went to the Nick, and we saw Joe Buck Yourself, who is Joe the... He played upright bass for Hank III. Yep. And he also has his own one-man band going on. And, like, basically, his fucking in between when he's tuning up his shit. It's like, motherfucker! And he tuned the shit up and he'd be like, motherfuckers, you ready, motherfuckers? And he tuned up and that was like the whole fucking spiel the whole time. And like even when there was a breakdown in the song where he was just fucking tapping the bass drum, he was like, motherfuckers! It's like the whole fucking thing.
I'm sorry,
like that's probably the
wrong?
Worst stage banner I've ever heard. And like we had a chance out on the front patio to smoke cigarettes.
You knew what you were getting yourself into at that point,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, it's like, but we were out on the front steps with him, and like every other word out of his mouth was, "Oh yeah, motherfucker, I appreciate you buying this motherfucking record." And he's like fucking signing CDs. Like I decorate all these motherfuckers. It's
like, I think the hardest stage.
Where am I at?
I think he might
have killed the question right there. I don't think anybody will do more after all that.
I will say all the stage banter between with a live stream and like people that have had to live stream through COVID and like to nothing and you're used to saying shit to an audience and you're just like, let me say this planned stage banter. And it dies. Everyone pause for effect. Yeah.
Oh, I did have a bad.
He's got a bad one.
Ooh. So. Shit. This was so. To frame the story, we had just played. I mean, we're having trouble playing as good of a set as we played.
Yeah.
At Little Harpeth Brewing. Right when we like got announced as Easy Eye Sound artists, like record's not out yet. It's our first thing. None of these people have heard these songs. Like they will be on the record, and it's our first gig. Me, Ford, Adrian, and Joey playing as a four-piece kind of rock band. And
I had a follow-up question.
Oh, you're good. So we have this great show. Like
yeah, we kill it.
I don't normally say this. Like it was really just a really good gig. And then we follow up with like two other gigs that, in my opinion, we did not kill. But the first gig we ever get as a four-piece band, we really do kill. And we have to come back to Birmingham after riding that high. And we play this gig at Alice Stevens Center.
I was going to bring it up if that wasn't where it was leading to.
And
that's
I mean,
a cool fucking place to see a show, though.
Yeah, I mean,
I saw.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah, I saw Robert Ellis there.
Which makes it worse.
Brilliant,
but here we go, though.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like,
the clientele is.
Clientele is
rich.
50s.
Artsy, fartsy, old motherfuckers.
Artsy, fartsy,
my roommate and his, like, three buddies that are, like, in their 20s.
Drunk as shit going, woo!
Yeah. Front row. Yeah, front row. Yeah. No, for real. Like, yeah. That's exactly
yeah,
what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Like, three buddies kind of day drunk.
Encouraging.
And my now roommate, Zach Austin. And
not you, Daniel. Daniel, you're a saint.
And we perform this, and you know, I have like a stupid banter thing I do. I was like, I do "Way of the Dinosaur," which is a song on the record, and I'm like, this is a song for all you dinosaurs.
Oh no!
All you dinosaur lovers or something. I'm like trying to.
The way you made it tonight was right.
Like you said
yeah,
it,
yeah,
then
yeah.
You tried to pull it back.
And since then, I have formed
yeah,
it.
Like, this is a
to
song
where
for the
works,
kids.
You know,
and like because like all your banter between songs tonight, I knew what he's like. This is a song about a horse, and I was like. Tapping the person next
yeah,
to me, I was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
"This is one of my favorite songs off the record."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is how
this
a horse.
This ain't about
you know?
A horse. This ain't about a horse.
Well, what I did because the record had not come out yet at this point, and I was just like,
makes it so much better.
This song's for all you dinosaur lovers.
Some of you might have been there. I think you were like, some of you might have been there.
Yeah,
the
I think you said something. You said something.
You weren't even there. You don't know.
You said something to the effect of, And speaking of all you dinosaurs,
like that. And but I mean, it was 50 and 60 year olds.
My wife was in the crowd, and she, I could see her face like. I literally, and my buddy actually runs.
That's a jaw drop, by the way.
Yeah, yes. That's my wife's jaw drop. And my buddy actually does the sound stuff for the place, right? He kind of heads that up. And at the end of the gig, I walk over to him and I was like, did you catch that comment about the dinosaurs? Oh, yeah, that was terrible. But it was
James fun. Is bad. He can't.
Well, I will give it to James tonight. Because I don't ever heckle at all. And I wasn't trying to heckle tonight.
I was trying so hard.
Just want to wait for a minute.
No, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I want him to be able to respond.
Oh my gosh, can I say my southern thing?
Did he steal my other beer? I brought two beers out here. There's one fucking beer left.
I did.
You did?
Motherfucker. Go ahead with yours.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my two southern things, when I was always like, when people were like, I'm just going to move to like California. Because, you know, they're so cool out there. And you're just like, what? It's cheap as shit to live here. Like, well, let's just be cool.
Here.
Like, why move? That's the one thing. And then the other thing, when I was doing performance art stuff in New York, and my friend that's a performance artist there, and she, like, managed to get these children in this show, but everyone's so thirsty to be famous there. And, like, anyway, and one of the kids, she was, like, figured out I was from Alabama, and she was like, you're from Alabama? And I was like, yeah, and she's like, you're wearing shoes? And I was like...
No shit. Listen,
but, like, I hate shoes. And I was only wearing shoes because I was in the city. Like,
my cousins...
That's a for real
This
real
is years
stereotype.
Ago. This is years ago, Cammie. Yeah. My cousins, they're from Oregon. They came down and stayed with us. Like, my family in our home.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State, well, you know, is in Starkville.
No, it's just us now. We're taking over.
And, dude, the first remark they gave when they showed up at the house and they were, like, literally landed at the airport.
Yeah.
They came to our house. They got ready. And they were going to the game. And, like, the off-putting comment that was just so wild to me was... You wear shoes? And I was like, well, you know, typically here in the South, if it's warm, no.
No! But it's more of a city country. Because when I lived on the water, like, you just never wore shoes. But, like, living more in the city, like, there's glass and shit everywhere.
That's right.
You know, but, I mean, if it's like a pinworm, you can do that, but you don't want glass in your foot.
I don't
even know where you
were. I just think it's so funny. Like, she and all, like, it was the cutest thing. She was just like, do y'all wear shoes there?
Yes, we do.
But it's a real thing.
The South.
No, but no, you were like, yeah. I was like, no. Yeah.
The South.
No, we don't.
The South is not a third world country. Get out of here, Ford.
But, like, fuck shoes and pants.
Yeah, we literally
and
wear
our cousins.
Ain't nobody wearing a fucking Daniel Boone cap.
We all wear the yes, we do that.
All those things.
So back to the stage banner. I wanted to say that I don't normally heckle, and I wasn't trying to heckle tonight. But there was a point because where James was standing was about six feet from the windowsill. Where he had his beer sitting.
Yeah.
And so at one point, I was standing next to him and taking pictures, and he kept walking back to his beer.
And you went and got a bar stool.
And he was talking, and so my bar stool was standing there where I had sat and asked him questions, so I moved it over next to him. He didn't see me because he was talking to the crowd, never, ever anything. And then at one point in the show, I was like, he walked back to get his beer, and I was like, James, I put the bar stool next to you for your beer. And you had the quickest response, and it was perfect, like unplanned, unthought out. You were like, I got to work for it, or whatever you said.
That That's was exactly fucking, what he said.
That was fucking awesome. I was like, hell yeah. He took took that. He never did put his beer on the fucking bar stool.
Literally looked at it and was like, no, I got to work for that.
Yeah. So props, dude. That was cool. That was a good response.
The question I want to ask is...
I had a thing to say for that.
Go for that.
Oh.
But remember that. And I do not abide by what he does. And also, like... love taking a little bit of a rule out of his book. Like, Jack White... famously, like, when it was just the White Stripes. Now, like, he's like, I play Fender brand new things.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, he used to play, like,
vintage everything.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
And he would, like, famously put his slide on the other side, so he would have to walk across the stage to get his slide or something.
Yeah.
Like, and never write a set list. And it's just like that's a weird thing that's kind of lost now. Like, I don't hear anybody talking about that anymore. Like, tonight was I've wrote my set list. I'm sure I gave Ford some, but you know, like, especially when it's a duo.
Yeah.
You know, like,
because we were all
I never told
we
Ford.
We were not expecting.
Yeah.
You and Ford, you know, we were expecting you and Adrian.
Yeah.
For one.
Yeah, it should have been.
And then when I heard Ford's coming, and I was like, shit, we got Slide. We got Steel.
Yeah. And I pulled some fast ones on Ford tonight where it was like, we had kind of practiced a certain way of a song, and long story short, it's a song called Stockholm Syndrome, where normally I go kind of thrashy on guitar, where it's just like all downstrokes. Wah, 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 wah. And I just, at a moment, like, I was just like, I'm just going to finger pick it. And I had shown him what that would sound like in our rehearsals, which was short-lived, but... it's so weird because, like, me and Ford only had two rehearsals.
Yeah.
And the first one was the real rehearsal. Honestly, the second rehearsal felt like a throwaway. Like, in retrospect.
I didn't feel that way at all. No, Ford was trying so many things.
Poor Ford.
He's like, how about this? Like,
dude, if I can speak wholeheartedly and honestly, Ford did not sound good. In the rehearsals.
He was trying
and
to.
And I...
He's more advanced.
Honestly, just... believed in him. But I didn't really like how we sounded at rehearsal, but I didn't say that. And this... He hasn't heard this at all.
Yeah.
And he knows how I feel. He knows how I feel.
But
I fucking buddy hugged him immediately after the set. And was like, oh my God, dude. I couldn't have asked for a better set.
Tonight,
yeah.
I don't think anybody there could have heard anything wrong. Like, everything sounded perfectly pristine, on point.
I was so happy.
I never noticed it. I was just like, holy shit, these two dudes are awesome. Because I, too, thought, when I was talking with your management company, I thought that...
Adrian
was coming in.
Yeah.
And then... And you watch, like, if you go to YouTube and you watch all these videos, it's always the two of you.
Yeah.
And so I've never heard you and the pedal steel together. So,
it's
like,
never happened.
Like, I got a little...
You heard it for the first time.
Hard. I'm like, oh,
that
my
was,
God.
That was
pedal
the
steel
first
is
time.
Coming in with him. Holy
I mean,
shit.
I'm out.
I mean, it was fucking awesome.
If I made dude's nipples hard.
I mean, it was like I heard that you were coming in. I was like, holy shit.
I mean, I straight up told Ford tonight, I was like, it's hard to ask Adrian back.
I mean, it's and like and the fact and the fact that you joined
Adrian, get out!
And the fact that you joined him and complimented him on three different instruments.
jack of all.
This bud's for you, bro.
I was scared.
Even though it's not a bud.
You don't get to say that.
Just, yeah.
That's my job.
Man, I remember the first time that we podcasted at y'all's place, and on the way home, I called a buddy of mine because I don't know a lot of steel slide players.
No one does.
And I made a phone call that night, and I was like, I just met somebody. And I was like, dude, I'm so blown away. And then the next time he's out playing, you played Taylor Hollingsworth, Will Stewart. You played that night.
Band.
You played in Will's band.
You opened for Taylor.
That's right. And
that was a great show.
I remember.
That was the last time I saw you.
Yeah, that was the last time we saw each other. And
Taylor's honorary seat sitting over there.
That's Taylor Hollingsworth's seat over there. But I remember having his butt ain't big enough. I remember having a conversation, and I think it was Joey. It's like, God only knows how damn talented Ford is, and he don't give himself any fucking credit at all.
It's frustrating. Yeah.
It frustrates the shit out of me, and I don't even really know the guy. And I'm telling you this.
Joey knows Ford really well. We toured through Canada and shit together.
But, dude, like, that night, you played so fucking good, and you fucking killed it tonight on three different instruments. Like, there's not enough shit said about you.
Okay. Well, we can stop now.
Okay. We will.
And there was this one, like, fucking crunch noise you kept doing.
That was flooring me.
What the fuck?
So
that was that?
He didn't
that
do
amazing.
That.
Amazing.
He didn't do
did?
That at rehearsal.
Yeah.
And
when
I was,
you like
oh
fucking pull
my
it up
god,
on the
this
back
is
back
cool.
Street, like below the bridge
shit.
Or some
He's so
shit.
Good.
Or,
like during rehearsal, he was trying all
that's,
the shitty
that's
shit
an
and
old,
being like, nope, bad, nope,
that's
bad.
That's an
not
old Blind Willie
McTell
thing where he would, Blind Willie McTell would, you know, play something and he'd scrape.
Play under the bridge or something?
He played behind the nut or behind the
yeah.
bridge. And I was trying to
fuck,
do that.
That was amazing.
I think you, got after it.
And I would stop looking because, like, fuck, he just did it. And I'd be like, damn, he did it again. What the fuck did he do? And I never would see it.
It's weird.
Every time you did it, well, first of all, I kept getting distracted by what you were doing. almost for
that
getting my
you
lyrics.
No.
Okay, because that was...
Because it fucking sounded great.
Okay, that was something that I kind of told Hank Knight. Kalinich. I was telling Kalinich I was having trouble. Because Kalinich would just, like, do random-ass shit because he's so bored.
I wasn't bored.
I know you're not bored.
I was out of ideas.
But, like, I'm saying, these are... This is 2.5 hours of Hank Knight.
Yeah, I guess he was.
So, like, he was doing, like, crazy as shit. And, like, would just randomly, like, ba-da, 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 ba-da. Like, randomly just, like, okay, and now we're in the major scale.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, you never did that, but I'm just saying, like, when you would do that chucka-chucka on, like, the... Beyond the nut on the mandolin, like it was kind of hard to focus. And I was like, "That's a good
beyond
thing.
The
okay,
nut."
That's,
when
you're
that's your next episode together. Beyond
when
the
I
nut.
Was,
I did it
with,
once
with
I
Early
it
James
once,
as the latest.
I used to do it all the time when I was playing like.
Well,
styles.
The weird thing about doing it. Is when you do that, you immediately stop becoming an instrumentalist. You immediately become a... You become a...
something special. You were fucking Eddie Van Halen out
no,
there
no,
tonight.
No,
you, something fucking special happened tonight.
You become a...
Percussionist. Well, that's kind of how I approach the mandolin, honestly, is percussion.
And that's what is so cool about... I mean, this is the first gig we ever played together, so.
And apparently,
no
as
shit.
A du- as a duo.
And we fucking witnessed it tonight. Yeah.
No, we've played plenty of gigs. We've played tours.
We've played two tours together as a pedal steel and guitar player.
I didn't know I played mandolin.
He has never played mandolin on any gig.
And I would believe that. Just like...
I feel like Ford is a fucking onion.
And like, you just have to peel off layers of him.
Okay, Shrek.
Huh?
All right, Shrek.
Oh, no.
Do you not... I mean... I'm fucking getting that vibe off it. It's like, how much of this motherfucker do I not know?
Is he making you cry? Are you crying?
Do I need a...
Shrek was talking about onions in the movie. Have you not seen the movie? God damn it.
Well, thank you. I wasn't trying to, do anything different.
You did a fucking Radiohead, I'm fucking around my guitar, Creep kind of shit. Where
I wonder what
I fucking noticed it. I was like, what the fuck was that? Well, I've never heard that noise come out of a mandolin
before.
I
sit here now
as
a musician who is from Birmingham and has a I wonder what Ford did wrong in these other bands that he apparently got fired from.
That's what I did. Now, wait a minute.
That's a compliment, dude.
Wait a minute.
That's major. I told you this.
That's fucking major right there.
Ford, get your ass up here to the mic.
I don't want that to become a thing, because that's what I tell people. If I quit a band, I tell people I got fired.
Okay, well, maybe I didn't get fired for bands.
Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot.
I want to really push into the ethos of everything. Fuck Will Stewart.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No,
me and Will Stewart are working on a song right now. Me and Will Stewart.
You can't talk Will
Stewart.
Me
and Will
Stewart
have co-written. We're probably gonna put out a song here in the next year. But for real though, fuck Will Stewart. I hope he hears this, baby.
I hope he does too.
I for real fucking love Will Stewart.
I love that guy too. It's weird hearing those words together. Fuck Will Stewart.
I don't think anyone's ever said fuck Will Stewart.
I don't think so either. It's weird it happened here, dude. I want to ask you this: I think you'll fill me in. And I got two more questions, and we'll get the fuck out of here, because we got slap your ass.
No more.
Yeah. We got to slap you on the ass and get you on the road. But, I admire and respect I guess it's the love of the game. And I think it goes to Birmingham. Like, with the incessity of that music scene. What do you guess? Yeah, go ahead. But, man, just your willingness to play and, like, to be a part of different projects and, like, I don't know. Even with my, like, small town bullshit record that I'm trying to do out of my bedroom. Man, just to be a part of that, is fuck. That's incredible to me that you'd offer that service.
Well, man, first of all, it's a service to be accepted as a creative. For anyone to think that what I'm gonna do on guitar is cool. I mean, Abe Partridge, when he asked me to play guitar on his record, I couldn't believe it. But, like,
I can't wait to hear it.
It's so weird when people, when, like, they get so, like, oh, like, I can't believe you agreed to it.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with that, like, weird, I don't know, like, duality of, like, dealing with yourself as a creative, and then the fact that someone thinks that you're cool.
Yeah.
And too cool for school, and, like, they think you're too cool for school to play on their record or something. And I'm like, I can't believe you asked me.
They all traded them for art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happily.
That's how it happened.
Happily.
So, like, long story short, like, Abe asked me and Ford and Adrian to play on this record, and I was like, he was like, I'm going to pay you, and I was like, can you not pay me? Can you just give me some of your art?
Yeah.
Because he had some Hank Williams Sr. stuff
that I want.
I'm an Alabama astronaut. Like,
hell yeah.
I'm paid up my 3 feet, baby.
Yeah. Like, I am all
I don't.
That
I can't afford it. But
we were talking about this. It's like, he's got the best of both worlds.
He's got every
he
world.
He can go play his set, and then he can sell his art. A huge. Like James said, you know, he gave us each an original piece for you know, working on his album. And I was like stoked. And then I finally got it the other night. I was like, shit.
He couldn't get enough of it. Like,
yeah. And he's going the road.
Speaking as someone who was seeing the art they were given for their work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's honestly a very cool thing to spectate. Like, we all kind of agreed, no, I don't want money.
Yeah, he tried.
You know, he was trying to pay all of us.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And it was like, your art to me is worth, you know,
more
even though it is, you know, a shitty time, I could use the money. But I was like, all of us kind of agreed, like, we would rather have his art, because, I mean...
And he was appreciative, I mean, you know.
Well,
I'm glad.
Abe Partridge.
Yeah, I mean, just with that, is like, man...
But long story short is, you saying that your point that you're making was... You were appreciative of the fact that I would so easily play guitar on your stuff.
Yeah.
That is so stupid to me, because it's like, man, first of all, I love you, and we're close friends, and like, we were fast friends. Weirdly fast friends.
Weirdly fast, dude.
And like...
Like, for you to be
of
sitting
of course
here in
I would immediately play
tonight.
Guitar on your stuff. Because, like, that's what it is to me. It's communication.
Yeah.
Like, what I do on guitar is just information.
Yeah, but,
you know, like of
but,
course I would give that to you.
But, like, the difference is like, the degree of it is, like, what if you're agreeing to shit and you're not... You're not shit. Maybe, like, the shit I want to do is not good. But you're willing to... Not saying we'd put it out in the world, but, you know, we would email it back and forth or whatever that looks like. But the fact that you would be down... Like, there is a variance.
I
degree
just,
is like,
I think everyone should think of art as art. And
yes.
Even if you can't... Man, I haven't listened to a lot of your music. You know, like, even if you can't encompass a thought for a song, I still, like, as a person, love you and know you as a person. So it's like, how bad can his song be? You know, it's
right.
Like...
Maybe if you do bad art, you still learn.
But even then, it's just like, hell yeah, I'll still play guitar on that.
But bad art is not necessarily
like,
bad art.
It's bad.
That person's thought of
think.
Art.
Yeah, nothing's
so
ever
you can't
bad.
Look at it as bad. You can't, you know, go
that,
in it
that's
with a negative
thought.
That's kind
of how I feel about Alan's art. Is like,
now, what's
I haven't,
the song, what you do bad? I don't
know
good.
What
I've
the song's going to sound like.
You're good.
I've heard a little bit, and it was enough to intrigue me. And, like, I'd love to play guitar, but it was like...
And if it's really shitty bad art, you can make it better.
Alan,
there's
you're stuck
the petition.
Of shit. This is actually... We needed to tell you.
It's yeah, it's like, yeah, you really need to stick to the
podcast. Now's the time. Bam.
But that's the good thing about, like, the creative process. It's like, yeah, just getting out and doing it, you know, with strangers. Like, art with strangers.
Yeah.
You learn so much.
That's why she's doing boudoir shit.
That's right. But, I mean, you know, like, the thing about it to, like, widespread is, like, you know, tomorrow I'll be in Birmingham with you guys. Not just be back in Birmingham in general.
We should cook a meal tomorrow.
Why don't we?
I'm going to feed you tomorrow.
Why don't we?
I'll feed you tomorrow.
I'll be there. But Taylor Hollinsworth is like, you know, he put out this art, and I messaged him about it.
What did he say?
You know, I just told him I wanted a piece, and I was like, well, I want that piece. And
we didn't talk enough about him.
Yeah. Come by.
I can come back and do this podcast again.
Yeah, come by and get it. He was like, you have done so much as far as, like, supporting me on the show. No, there's no money on this. It is yours. And just come get it. And I was like, fuck, I can't believe that. And he's like,
you're talking about Hollingsworth or
yeah, Hollingsworth.
Yeah.
We kissed the Taylor Hollingsworth proverbial neck every time we do this.
Yeah.
Can I please do my little kiss?
Please.
Did I do that on the first?
Mm-mm. Like, no, I wanted to bring this up. And Al and I talked about it. Like,
anyone who's ever listened to me who is a guitar player can at least say, like, if they've heard Hollingsworth, they know I fucking play guitar like him.
It's like, because like, I...
It's like Justin Towns Earl, too.
Like, I'll be honest. Like, I know limited amount about Justin Towns Earl. I know enough to know that I fucking love his music and he's a brilliant songwriter. But I've never seen anybody open-handed just fucking... Just like it's like when I was growing up and in the 90s, and I remember Les Claypool playing the bass.
Hell yeah.
He just fucking strummed the fucking bass, but all this shit was coming out, mm-hmm. and his fucking hand was just going back and forth on the fucking bass the whole time. But his fingers were doing all the work. You guys, I've never seen two guitar players play like you and Taylor Hollingsworth play.
That's very intrinsic. Oh, yeah, that's very true.
First of all, a huge compliment.
But, yeah, I mean, both of you. I mean, like, to watch you play, I'm just amazed that... Like, and you don't... I don't... you and Taylor, either one, y'all don't even move your left hand as much as Les Claypool does.
It's open to me.
It's like, what the fuck is going on there? It's mind-boggling.
So, with Taylor's playing, you know, I didn't know I was... It's huge, because the first... I remember this hugely, because I remember, like, starting to play guitar with an acoustic guitar, and living in this one-room apartment in Luverne, Alabama, with my mom and my stepdad, and, like, we had a television, and I remember everyone was asleep except me, and it must have been, like, it could have been Conan, it could have been, like, even past that point, you know, like, late night, mm-hmm. and, Connor Oberst and the Mystic Valley Band came on.
Fuck.
And Taylor Hollingsworth was the lead guitar player for that band. And when he took his solo, he was playing on a not even a nice acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
You know, you can go back and track this down to see what, like, it's not a nice acoustic guitar. And, like, you know, and it's so weird because, like, that girl that I was talking about, Omaha, Nebraska, mm-hmm. that's where Connor Oberst is from. And weirdly enough, you know, Taylor Hollingsworth becomes his lead guitar player. And he's, first of all, Hollingsworth is right at home on an electric guitar. and doing blue shit.
Yeah.
So I don't. There are documentaries out there as to why Hollingsworth ended up being Conor Oberst's lead guitar player.
Really?
But it really doesn't make sense.
There's documentaries out there?
Yeah. Well, fuck. Weird old ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta check that shit out because I've never, I've never Googled Conor Hollingsworth make documentary. Sense. Yeah, I gotta do that.
The fact that, well, the way it worked out was, I think the reason why Hollingsworth landed that gig, well, first of all, he's an amazing guitar player.
Yeah.
But Kate is his wife, mm-hmm. who's also an amazing singer, and his
cousins with the Azure
from
and, yes,
yeah,
it's a big circle over there in the ham.
No, Kate's sisters with Maria Taylor.
Yes. And then Maria Taylor's with Azure Ray. Yeah. And then Maria Taylor is married to...
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And it all, from that point, works in such weird ways as, like, fucking... damn it, I'm so bad at names. I'm looking at Jason Isbell on this poster, though. And,
do you know who opened for him on that tour?
No.
And that was like in 2016. A then unknown Sturgill Simpson. And it I left there fucking googling and following fucking Sturgill and everything. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? This guy's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know.
But anyway, we'll go back around.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, just to
but turn that off. Macy Taylor. It was Kate's brother, married to Taylor Hollingsworth, Kate Taylor. You know, they, Macy was playing with Taylor all through that, and then, like, I always knew Hollingsworth, and I remember the first gig I ever played with him, like, a random ass gig, and like the power went out.
Yeah.
So we were forced to play acoustic. And we just play acoustic to this tiny little crowd. And
sorry.
I remember so much, man. Like, I remember him serving me my burrito at Rojo. And him just, like, sitting there listening to me. And we're buddies now. But, yeah. Like, you know, I went and saw his gig at
yeah, we were all there together.
Yeah. And, like, now he just treats me as a buddy, but, like, he will never understand how I look at him, you know? And he'll cringe if he ever hears me say that. But, like, you know, he'll never know that I was sitting in a fucking apartment building in Luverne, Alabama at 16 years old and hearing him play lead on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, but like it's
for Conor Oberst and like me being like, oh cool, because I wasn't aware of that. The weirdest thing is as a 16-year-old I wasn't aware of blues.
Yeah.
Or fucking bluegrass. You know, I didn't know that instrument. Really, I knew electric guitar as lead and acoustic as rhythm.
Sure.
That's what I knew. Sure. And I was not privy to that much information. And
so the whole open hand flicking style that you both have, like, where does that come from? How, like, where did you learn that, or it just happened? Because when you play, you kind of, you just basically take all of your index fingers and flick them from your thumbs when you're playing the guitar, and somehow other fucking strings get hit in the process. Like, what goes on in your brain when you think about, when you're picking out something, you've got the chords, you're not doing anything extravagant on your left hand as much as you are on your right hand. Like, that's what boggles my mind, because I'm not, I mean, I've always been a bass player, but I'm a shitty bass player, but I just don't understand. Like, is that something you developed from Hollingsworth, or something you developed on your own?
It was never a direct influence, which I would have thought it would have been.
Yeah.
It's weird that I can trace it down to a moment.
Yeah.
Where I feel like most people cannot, because it's just like a thing that happens. But I specifically remember being at my sister's house, and like I was pretty good at finger picking.
Yeah.
And I just like blah 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 jam sailor shit. And I also remember like being able to roughly approximate like like,
and playing bass of, with your
yeah,
thumb.
Yeah, like keeping the E. Let's say we're in the key of E, and like, you know, a loose approximation.
Yeah.
But I remember tuning to open G, any open tuning, and like being able to just like. Now it turns out it's like clawhammer banjo. I did not know that in the moment.
Yeah.
Because I'd never even... I'd play the banjo.
Clawhammer is with using your thumb as the... kind of the hammer?
Frailing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't exactly do what actual clawhammer banjo players do. But I remember just like being in my sister's kitchen while she was at work on her computer, and just like, you know, it's a weird thing, like just like being like, oh, I all of a sudden like am clicking to this rhythm, and like I was feeling it, cause like up until that point it was like boom cha boom cha boom cha boom cha, and then like finally realizing that up and down you can actually access like ghost notes.
Yeah.
If your fingers...
I don't know why it's playing Big Free as shit. Sorry.
But long story short, you can access like where it is largely an upstroke, downstroke thing. Within your upstroke or with, within your upstroke or downstroke, you can do an upstroke or a downstroke.
Yeah.
Where it's an upstroke or downstroke, vice versa. You know, like, or mute it, you know? And that goes to, like, it's not a generational thing. It's not a, genre thing.
Yeah.
I know Corey Wong is a great someone whose right hand technique is so much more important than their left hand technique.
I've got to listen to more of his band.
Shit. Wolfpack is.
Yeah. I mean, they're a weird band, but they're always like a band that I've always been intrigued by, and I like their music. So I need to listen to more of it then.
Right hand techniques are, far more important than left hand techniques, in my opinion.
That's always like when I tell people about Taylor Hollingsworth, or when I tell people about
Taylor Hollingsworth's approach to guitar
is obtuse.
Is
I remember
obtuse,
the story that he
but
told
also,
us.
Man, his left hand is. Depending, well, if
his
he's playing guitar for another band, it is busy as like he is.
I think Taylor's doing more muting strings and holding, like he mutes everything that's not held down.
Yeah, he's good at that.
Yeah, and then his right hand is just fucking going insane, just fucking strumming like Les Claypool in a sense. Right,
no. Corey Wong, as well. But like
the thing I've observed from Taylor is like, and this is the thing I've observed from like most guitarists that I hold a lot of respect for, is it's not about your fret hand, it's about what you do with the strum hand. And we were talking about, you know,
but I don't think so much with Taylor though.
I do. I think it's true.
It's way important with Taylor.
But, yeah, maybe I think it may be both hands with that guy because he's just unreal. But
he's a human.
No, I don't think he's like that crazy with his left hand. He's a right-handed guitar player.
But it's what he does with that strum hand. More importantly than
that's
what happens. What.
Is a technique that most people are unaware of.
That's it.
And like, Justin Towns Earl is dead now. Like, he's like, I mean, I kind of learned it from. It's so weird to say that the technique that I play guitar on largely, and I still play guitar different ways, but like when I'm just like, I mean, that really does boil down to, like, Justin Towns Earl in some way. It can't be Corey Wong, because Corey Wong only plays with a pick. But, and, like, banjo players. Mm-hmm. But Corey Wong, dude, I don't know if in an interview he's ever talked about banjo players, but... He would be remiss to talk about, like, it has to boil down to that for him. But also, like, that's the weird way art works, is, I mean, like, it was such a frustrating headline for me to receive, was, what's the word for when you receive a headline or just someone describes you as something and you do not receive, like, you're not aware of what someone tells you you are? Oblivious? Not oblivious, but...
It's close to that.
It's when, like, you aren't even fucking aware of...
Astonished?
No, it's not that either.
I kept in reviews.
Flabbergasted.
In reviews of my album, I kept getting called an artist that was somehow aware of old timey music, but at the same time, I was like, "Fuck this music."
Yeah.
That was the term, and I can't remember the name of that term.
You said it the other day.
I can never remember this term. I keep trying to remember this term. And so many reviews of that album came out. They said that I was so oddly throwbacky, but also at the same time, they said that I was just like, fuck.
There is not another record out there that sounds like Singing for My Supper. There's not. You can't pin it down to any artist. That's your own shit. That's your own. You're doing your thing.
I don't think they were off base in saying what they said, because.
But that's like, you can't compare your record to anything else that's out there ever.
And
I'd say it's timeless.
It's completely. Different from it, timeless is perfect.
It will be.
That album could have come out.
And
the '60s, it would sound different.
Your voice, you cannot compare it to anybody else's.
Yeah.
your guitar playing style, it's all you. You know, well, I mean, that's
I wasn't looking for that, but
no, I mean, I'm not trying to pat you on the back, but I'm just, you know, it's just, that's
all
what
you
I feel
need to know
because
is I'm extremely upset.
I didn't know you until tonight, and it's like, yeah. Fuck, I've listened to your record so many times, I can't even fucking tell you. Like, I thank you're welcome for the fucking 15 cents I gave you off of Spotify because I listened to your record 185 times, you know?
Yeah. Guys, one last thing and we're done.
We did that like fucking 30 minutes
ago. I know.
These dudes got to get back to Birmingham.
They got to go. And this is the closer. It's hard to predict the future, but what's next? What are you doing? What are you looking toward? What are you working toward?
That Juan Bello tour.
There you go. Plug that.
We'll see if it actually happens, though. But Juan Bello tour towards what is that for?
Late
summer.
There's
it was
dates
like
in
late
the third week of August, and
August,
then dates again in
November.
August.
I think.
Wait,
there's
August.
Like 3 weeks in November. I don't know if you're on all or we're on all that, but I know they're doing 3 weeks.
Email said August, November.
It surprised me how many there were.
Cool. Well, guys, it's been so good to have y'all in Columbus. Thank you so much for giving us time. Let's get out of here, right? You gotta go.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Fuck off, get out of my house.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.